We've never been richer than we are right now in our lives, in this time in which we're living. The Holy Spirit is so generous in pouring himself out and in touching our lives significantly and doing amazing things. So this is a morning where the Holy Spirit is going to do amazing things in our lives with a purpose. He has a purpose. There's a purpose. And it's not just for blessing. It's to be a blessing, to go out and be a blessing. So as a church, we have two church planters, local church planters that we are supporting as missionaries. And Dio is one of those beautiful brothers and his family, and we're honored to have you here this morning, Dio. Take your liberty and just release what God's given you, and I just appreciate your heart so much and appreciate you.
Thank you very much. Good morning, church. Yes, I love to be here all the time. If we didn't have a church we're planting in the city, this would have been our church. I love the love. You know, since the first time we came, every member of my family was like, this church is loving. And that's what we're looking for, and that's what Jesus has sent us to do, to be his hands and feet and to love people. God is love, and the way people will know that we're his disciples is through our love. So I want to celebrate and honor every one of you for being good representatives of Jesus Christ. Can we please put our hands together for ourselves this morning? Amazing. And I really want to honor, even though he's not here today, Pastor Ken, for the great work God has used him to start, and also how Pastor Chuck is taking it. And I just want to really appreciate you, Pastor Chuck, for all the way you've loved me, our family, and the call of God on our lives. Yourself and Valerie have been a great blessing, and we're really grateful. I wouldn't be able to drive here today if not that Pastor Chuck helped me to get to practice and get my driver's license. And he's just such a great lover. Pastor Chuck truly loves and cares, and every one of you are so privileged and blessed to have him as a pastor. And the Bible says we should honor those who labor over us in the world. So this morning, I know you love him and you honor him. Just want us to let him know that we really do love him, because sometimes as pastors, we just need that reminder to know that people really appreciate us. So please, can we honor this God servant this morning? Thank you, Pastor Chuck. Amen. And what are we going to say about the worship team? That was powerful. That was electric. So thank God West Ottawa is supporting us. So maybe Bible says we should not covet, but I say we should covet earnestly the good gifts, right? So we're still going to discuss how that will happen, because we need to have this kind of powerful worship in our church too. That was great. Thank you for using your gifts to minister and to be a blessing. And I'm just going to be riding on what they've done. You know, they've sang very powerful songs. And I love how in this church we are conscious of the Holy Spirit. I love it. Before I get into that, I've also been asked to just share some updates about myself, my family, and the church we are planting. And you all have been a great blessing. Every time you give to this church, you're not just giving to this church, you're giving to the body of Christ, and we get to benefit from your generosity. So I want to thank everyone who is faithfully giving in this church. I want you to know that God is using your generosity to bless lives and to change lives, not just in West Ottawa Community Church, but also at Greatness Church. So we have some pictures we'd like to show to you very quickly of some of the things we've been doing in preparation for our church launch that is happening this fall. For more than 1 year, West Arcot Community Church has been supporting us so we can do some good works that Jesus has sent us to do. So because of your support, we're able to feed people. Jesus did that, right? You have been able to feed people. And that has opened their hearts to listen to the gospel that we have to share. So God has blessed us, and we've been privileged to be able to reach out to people from all walks of life. And we're so amazed at what God is doing. Please, you can keep rolling. This picture seems to be a bit small. So that's me. After eating, we get to share with them our vision, how we want to touch lives and make a difference in the city. And we have people from all walks of life. And we're grateful that God is leading to us young families so that as they are growing in, to know Jesus and become followers of Jesus, even their kids too can learn, because we need to secure the next generation. So that's my wife. And this is a Muslim lady, right, that is seeking and is interested in knowing about Jesus, making sure that the kids are not left out. They are being discipled. Yeah, that's our daughter. You know, we're so blessed that all our kids love Jesus and they just are coming along with us on this journey. Our daughter was one that invited this family, you know, from their school. It's one of the teachers in their school that she invited to come for an event, this me speaking. We went to the community center and it was really powerful. This guy, one of us is discipling him, gave him a Bible, and that's why he's showing us. We're grateful that we have people from different backgrounds, multi-generational, and we're just so appreciative of your support. Thank you. I hope I'm not boring you.
No.
Okay. So these are the kind of things we make available for people, and it's all because of your generosity. I'm already feeling hungry. Are you sure? Are we sure we won't? That's me trying to be cool. Kids learning about Jesus. The food. All right, thanks for giving me that time to show you what God is helping us to do. We still covet your prayers as we ramp up to the launch. And sorry, I'm sorry for my bad mind. I know Pastor Chuck already mentioned my name, but just to be able to fully introduce and properly introduce my family. My name is Dayo Bankole, and I've been married to my lovely wife, Sheyi, for the past 14 years. It's going to be 15 years this November. Even though I look like a teenager, I look like a 15-year-old myself. But interestingly, we've been married for 15 years, and we're blessed with two girls. The first one is Ola. She's 12 years old. The second one is 7 years old. Her name is Ire. And we've been in this city, in fact, in this country, in North America, for the first time. We came about 3 years ago. It's going to be 3 years, actually, in November. And we felt led by God to come to the city of Ottawa to plant a brand new life-giving church. And we're so grateful. Somehow, by God's divine arrangements, myself and Pastor Chuck met, and he just began to show us love and support and encouragement. And we've been greatly blessed getting to know you all. So we're grateful that I've been endorsed as a church planter with the North American Mission Board, who, you know, also giving us some support and resources. And even there's another church planting organization called ARC, Association of Related Churches, who are also supporting us and cheering us on as we're launching. So, but you know what? There's a way God uses one person to start a chain reaction of favor and of blessing. I wonder what would have happened if Pastor Chuck had not responded to the Holy Spirit to give us the right hand of fellowship and begin to encourage us. Because if we had not been encouraged, and we probably got discouraged along the line, maybe we would not have experienced all the other good things that are happening to us right now. So thank you very much. Thank you, West Ottawa. Our dream is to establish a multi-ethnic church, and we're grateful that we're already seeing that happen. And we're grateful also that we're building a team and the people are excited about the vision. We're also raising funds towards our launch to be able to get equipment so we can have good sound like West Ottawa, and people can hear the message clearly and can have good worship. So, and God has really helped us in our fundraising, and we're just very close to reaching our goal, for which we're grateful. And also we've been able to secure a venue in South Keys. There's a movie theater, their Cineplex, that has agreed for us to use the place, since they are not showing movies until noon. So we're able to use a place to show people the way to Jesus before they start showing movies. So we're really humbled by the support we've received so far, and we're just eagerly anticipating the journey ahead as we have embarked on this mission of reaching the unreached in our city and beyond. Our mission is just to help people experience the greatness of God. We believe very strongly that the reason why people are turning their backs at God is because someone has not yet spoken to them or showed them and shared with them the greatness of God. The reason why people are depressed, they're living in hopelessness and are struggling in life is because someone has not shown them a better way. And that better way is in Jesus. Jesus says he's the way, the truth, and the life. So people are looking for life. They're looking for the way, but they don't know that it's all in Jesus. So we're trusting God to help us to be able to show them the way. So please, we covet your prayers. Keep praying for us. And don't stop supporting us. Thank you very much. So I'm going to quickly share with us today from God's Word. I know I've already taken some time doing that introduction, so I trust the Holy Spirit to grant us speed. I've been asked to talk about the Holy Spirit. So if you're taking notes, the title of what I'm talking about is How to Walk with the Holy Spirit and Experience His Power. Because there's no way you will walk with the Holy Spirit and you will not experience His power. And I love the song, Open the Eyes of My Heart. Maybe we're still going to do that at the end of this message, because I would love for us to be able to put into practice some of the things we'll be talking about. So if you have your Bibles, please turn with me to Acts of Apostles. And I love the book of Acts of Apostles. It's one of the books that is still being written. So your actions as a follower of Jesus Christ, and now you're obeying what the Holy Spirit is asking you to do, is a continuation of the Acts of Apostles. So we're reading from chapter 10, from verse 34 to 38. All right. I'm reading from the NIV. The Bible says, "Then Peter began to speak. I now realize how true it is that God does not show favoritism, but accepts from every nation the one who fears him and does what is right." Verse 36, "You know the message God sent to the people of Israel, announcing the good news of peace through Jesus Christ, who is Lord of all." Verse 37, "You know what has happened throughout the province of Judea, beginning in Galilee after the baptism that John preached. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and power, and how he went around doing good and healing all those who were under the power of the devil, because God was with him." Can we just pray quickly? Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you. Thank you for your word. Your word is powerful, life-changing. And we just ask that this morning, as we share your word and talk around your word, that the life and the power and the word will be ministered unto us. That this will not just be a talk, especially as we talk about the Holy Spirit, it will not just be a subject or a topic we're discussing, but that, Lord, there will be an experience, that there will be an encounter with the person of the Holy Spirit, that every one of us will move into a deeper walk with the Holy Spirit, that we'll have a new encounter and a new experience with him, in the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for giving us understanding. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. The people of God said, amen. Amen. Yeah, I love this church. I've been to places before where they don't talk to you when you're preaching. So I'm glad to be here. Because I'm not used to that. Where I came from, they shout you down when you're preaching. You know what? So I'm grateful. I really feel at home here. So I love the text we just read. It says that God has no favorites. He accepts everyone. You know, and the way that this verse comes out in the Greek is that God does not receive face. He does not look at your face. What he looks at is your response to his word, to what Jesus has done, and your application of faith to what he has done. So because of our time, I just want to take something from verse 36 and explain verse 38. It says, you know the message God sent to the people of Israel, announcing the good news of peace through Jesus Christ. I'm sure we are well taught in this church, and you know that Christ is not the last name of Jesus. I hope you know that. Christ is actually the anointing that is at work in Jesus. And I said that because of this verse I want to read, which is verse 38. It says, our God anointed Jesus of Nazareth. You see, it is Jesus of Nazareth as anointed, not Jesus Christ. Because Jesus of Nazareth is the man, then Jesus Christ is the anointed man. And I'm saying that because we need to know that even in this time and age, as a follower of Jesus Christ, you also have the anointing. You have also been anointed with the anointing. And so we can call you Joseph Christ. That's why you're a Christian. We can call you Lily Christ. Because you've been anointed with the anointing, and so you're also Christed. I hope I'm not being heretic this morning. So I'm sure you know the name of your neighbor, the person sitting close to you. So greet them this morning. Say, hello, that you're Christ. Mention their name and say, hello, Sheyi Christ. Or is that too great to comprehend? Every child of God has the Holy Spirit. And because you have the Holy Spirit, that means you have the anointed one with his anointing. That's why the Bible says in Philippians chapter 4, verse 13, you can do all things through Christ that strengthens you. Because the same power, the same anointing that was available to Jesus is now available to you as well. And we're focusing on the Holy Spirit today because the Holy Spirit is the believer's advantage. To be ignorant of the Holy Spirit or to try to live your life without the Holy Spirit is to be disadvantaged. And God does not want us, his children, to live our lives disadvantaged. So if you look at that text we read, it says, our God anointed Jesus of Nazareth, the guy who came from Nazareth, where people said, can any good thing come out of Nazareth? God anointed that Jesus that came out from the lowly and the least of places. But because he had the game changer, who is the Holy Spirit, something changed about him. A transformation happened to him. And now he could go about doing good. He could go about healing those who were oppressed by the devil. He could operate with a power that is higher than the demonic powers. Because the Bible says he was delivering those who were oppressed by the power of the devil. Because God is with him. People of God, Jesus is the one there. But in this time and age, the same thing that was said about Jesus is what should be said about you. That our God anointed Dio of Ottawa with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good, healing those who are oppressed of the devil, because God is with him. That's supposed to be our identity. That's supposed to be our reality. And I'm trusting God that someone is going to be inspired and challenged to begin to walk in that reality, starting from today in Jesus' name. The first thing I want to let us know that the Holy Spirit is a person, not a thing. You know, I have some friends, the Holy Spirit speaks to their heart. They say, something told me, something tells me. No, I tell them, no, it's not something, it's someone, and it's the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is not a thing. The Holy Spirit is a person. And you know what? He's a sweet person. That's why we call him sweet Holy Spirit. He is sweet, he is holy, and he's a spirit. And you know the exciting and the ultimate part is God. So when we say you have the Holy Spirit, what we're saying is that you have God. You are not without God. You are a carrier of God's presence. Everywhere you show up, you're not showing up alone. You're showing up with God himself, the creator of the heavens and the earth. That's why the Bible says these signs will follow those that believe. In my name, they will cast out demons. Because demons can't stand divine presence. He says, in my name, they will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. They will lay hands on the sick. They will recover. If they by any means take any poisonous thing or deadly thing, it will not hurt them. Then he ends that scripture by saying, for God, and God will be with you always, even to the end. So when you are conscious of the presence of the Holy Spirit and you make him your daily companion, you live a life of advantage, not a life of disadvantage. But we need to understand that he's a person that is sweet. You know, I was after Pastor Chuck told me to share this, I got a call from Nigeria to also speak on the Holy Spirit. There's a church where I oversee in Nigeria. They were also doing a teaching series on the Holy Spirit. This same message I shared, I recorded and said to them, and I told them, some of us, we have very good friends. We call, we say, oh, she's such a sweet personality. Oh, Pastor Chuck is such a sweet man of God. So wonderful. You know, some of you call your houses sweet, sweetie, sweetheart. Even though a lot of you are running from sweet things, you don't want to take too much glucose and too much sugary things, but you still want that sugar and that sweet in your life, right? The Holy Spirit is also that sweet personality that you need. It won't give you diabetes. The Holy Spirit is a healthy sweet that we all need. And you know why I'm saying this? I'm saying this because a lot of people don't understand that the Holy Spirit is actually, we talk about the Trinity in Christianity, right? Is the third person of the Godhead. And being the third person does not mean he's inferior or junior in rank to them. No, he's God by himself. For a long time, they used to, because of Bible translations, they used to call the Holy Spirit the Holy Ghost. And honestly, I used to be afraid of ghosts. I didn't want to have anything to do with ghosts, especially if you've watched some horror movies. So I didn't want to have anything to do with ghosts until I discovered that it was just the translators that messed it up. It's actually a spirit, and it's a sweet, holy spirit. Then I fell in love with him. And you know what happened? The Holy Spirit has changed my life in such a phenomenal way that I just ask myself and I wonder, where would I have been if I had not developed a relationship with the Holy Spirit? And you know what? Some Christians are afraid of the Holy Spirit when they should rather be afraid of trying to do life without the Holy Spirit. We should not be afraid of the Holy Spirit. Rather, we should be afraid of doing life without the Holy Spirit. You know, some of us are so dependent on our wallets. If we drive, this car, we don't have our wallet because our cards are there and all of that is there, we turn back. Some of us, it's our cell phone. We're just so connected and so glued. Everything about us revolves around it, and we just can't do without it. The Holy Spirit is of that kind of significance in our lives, of greater significance, of course. We can't afford to live without him. You know why? The Holy Spirit makes the impossible possible. The Holy Spirit turns your ordinary to extraordinary. The Holy Spirit makes you to enjoy divine presence. The Holy Spirit makes your natural to become supernatural. And makes supernatural to now become your natural experience. It turns your natural to supernatural. And now make supernatural living to be your natural. Your natural lifestyle, your natural experience. So we need to develop our walk with the Holy Spirit. When the Holy Spirit is at work in your life, he turns things around for good. In Luke 1:35, the angel told Mary, the mother of Jesus, he said, the Holy Spirit will come upon you. The Holy Spirit shall overshadow you, and the power of the Most High, the power of the Most High shall overshadow, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High shall overshadow you. So when the Holy Spirit is at work, the power of God himself is at work. That's what we see all through the Bible. In Acts chapter 1 verse 8, it says, you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost comes. So anywhere the Holy Spirit is, His divine power is there. His divine presence is there. And things don't remain the same. That's why we can't afford to want to do life all by ourselves. We've been called to a life of rest. We've been called to allow God to fight our battles and to have all our worries, all our anxieties. And that's what the Holy Spirit is here to do. We can't afford to try to get things done all by ourselves. The Bible says, by strength shall no man prevail. It's not by power, it's not by might, it's by my spirit, says the Lord. That worry, that anxiety, that depression has got to go if only you allow the Holy Spirit. I'm telling you the truth. When we allow the Holy Spirit, depression has got to flee. Because the Holy Spirit, the spirit of joy. And you know what I've discovered? I come from Africa where there's monarchical system of government or even traditional rulers everywhere. Two kings can't be in the same palace. So if Jesus is the Lord of your life and you have allowed the Holy Spirit to take the center stage in your heart, in your mind, and in your life, every other spirit, every other operation has got to flee. Everything that is not part of His kingdom, that is not part of His system, has got to leave and flee. And the reason why we need to really be interested in walking with the Holy Spirit is because, like I said, the Holy Spirit is holy, He's Spirit, and He's God. And the way you know that the Holy Spirit is truly God is that He expresses all the attributes of God. The Holy Spirit is omnipresent, just like God is omnipresent. The Holy Spirit is omniscient, that's the same way God is omniscient, all-knowing. The Holy Spirit is divine, is eternal, just like God. So imagine you having the privilege to have God, and you're still turning your back and say, no, I'm not sure this is for me. No, it's for you. It's for you. So I want you to embrace the Holy Spirit. And before I quickly share with us some of the practical ways we can develop our walk with the Holy Spirit, I just want to know this, that I don't like to call Christianity religion because really, really, Christianity is not religion. It's a way of life. It's a relationship with God, with our Father. But for the sake of the world we live in, Christianity is the only religion that speaks to the spirit of man. Or speaks about the spirit of man. Every other religion talks about the flesh, washing your hands before doing purification and all of that, circumcision, all of that. Other religions speak to your soul. So they do soulish meditations and transcendental meditation and all of those things. Only in Christianity is the spirit of man addressed. I'm yet to see any other religion. That's part of the advantage and the great honor that God has bestowed on us as disciples and as followers of Jesus Christ because of what He's calling us to. Because at the end of the day, the presence of the Holy Spirit, the power of the Holy Spirit is not just for ourselves. Yes, it's going to help us to live a victorious Christian life, but also the Holy Spirit has come to empower you and I so we can fulfill God's mission on earth. Acts chapter 1 verse 8 says, you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost comes upon you and you'll be my witness. So that's the ultimate purpose of the Holy Spirit. Yes, when you have the Holy Spirit, it's going to make your life comfortable in the will of God. It's going to bring the joy of God and the presence of God and the power of God. But ultimately, the Holy Spirit is there to help you to walk in victory and to fulfill God's mission. So when we refuse to walk with Him, we're not fulfilling our purpose as believers. We're not bringing glory to God the way we're supposed to. So the Bible says God wants us to be sanctified, holy, spirit, soul, and body. 1 Thessalonians 5:23. As a child of God, as a human being seated here today, the real you is not the physical you that we can see. The real you is inside, is unseen, is invisible, and it's your spirit, not even your soul. Your soul is what connects you to the spirit world and connects you to the physical world. And some of us have done a very good job to develop our minds. We've done a very good job to dress well, to look good, to do manicure, to do pedicure, to do our hair and look good. But it's time we also pay attention to our spirits. Because our spirits is the most powerful part of us. And that's the part a lot of people have neglected. But I'm trusting God that the people here in the West Order will not neglect their spirits. They're going to develop their spirits. They're going to walk with the Holy Spirit in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so I said this before and I'll say again. The Holy Spirit is a believer's advantage. To live without the Holy Spirit is to live a life that is disadvantaged. One of the pictures the Holy Spirit gave me is this. If you are right-handed, your right hand is what you're very good with. Then you go to work, and that right hand is tied to your back. And all you have to work with is your left hand that you're not so good with. Is that an advantage or a disadvantage? But if that same person has an issue with their left hand, and for some reason, maybe they have a cast on it or something that will make them not able to use it, but the right hand is still working, what would happen? They'll still be able to get things done. So when we refuse to operate by the Holy Spirit, we're like that man who is used to doing things with their right hand, but has chosen to tie it to the back or just refuse to use it. Imagine how many things you'll be able to do today if that hand you're used to does not work throughout from morning to night. That's how disadvantaged a lot of Christians have made themselves. God didn't make them, they made themselves because God has already made the Holy Spirit available. So we're talking about the Holy Spirit because we have so many disadvantaged believers. Some of them are not here, but God wants you to go challenge them. That's why you're hearing this message. Those are your friends and people God will bring your way who are afraid and scared of those spirits, or they're just ignorant. God wants you to educate them. I want us to read a scripture, then I'm going to give some 4 points and I'll be done. John 16 verse 7. I love the way the Bible explains this in the Amplified Classic. It's not another Bible. It's just that the translators, you know, did a good job of explaining all the Greek words, because Bible, the New Testament originally was not written in English, it was written in Greek. So let's see what the Bible says. And it says, however, I am telling you nothing but the truth when I say it is profitable. So this scripture is just helping me to buttress all I've said so far. I am telling you nothing but the truth when I say it is profitable. Let me tell you what I said, the Holy Spirit is profitable. Please let me tell you what I said, the Holy Spirit is profitable. Not financially anyway. not as in buying and selling and making profits. This is a profit. It says, the Bible says the Holy Spirit is good, is expedient, is advantageous. Okay, Jesus is still speaking. He says, however, I'm telling you the truth that when I say it is profitable, good, expedient, advantageous, for you that I go away, that's Jesus. And the reason why I say it's good and advantageous, profitable for you, for him to go away, is because of the Holy Spirit. Let's read the next statement. It says, because if I do not go away, the comforter, look at what the Holy Spirit has come to do, comforts. The next thing, counselor. So you need wise counsel. That's what the Holy Spirit is here for. Helper. You need help with your health, with your family, with raising your kids. That's what the Holy Spirit is here for. You need help in understanding the Bible. You need help in praying. You need help in preaching the gospel. That's what the Holy Spirit is here to help you with. Bible goes ahead to say he's your advocate that speaks on your behalf. He's your intercessor. He's your strengthener. So no more weak days for you. I thought someone would say amen to that. Weakness in the mind, emotional weakness, physical weakness, no more. Because that same spirit that raised Jesus will quicken your mortal bodies. It can quicken your mind, can quicken your soul. He's your strengthener. He's your standby. He says, Jesus said, he will not come to you into close fellowship with you, but if I go away, I will send him to you. Has Jesus gone now? Has Jesus gone? So has he sent the Holy Spirit? All right, so let me tell your neighbor, no more being without good counsel. Let me tell you what I said, no more days of being without good counsel. No more days of being helpless. No more days of being weak and feeling lonely or feeling depressed because the Holy Spirit is now here. Somebody say amen. So Jesus has left and the Holy Spirit has been sent to us. So we can be in close fellowship with him. He wants to be in close fellowship with us, but we also need to be willing to be in close fellowship with him. So as I close, four practical things we can do to walk with him. And of course, when we walk with him, we will enjoy his power. Number one, very simple. Talk to him. Tell your neighbor, talk to him. Oh, I'm not hearing you. Tell your neighbor, say, talk to him. Why? Because he wants to talk to you. He wants to talk to you. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 14, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and what? The sweet fellowship, the fellowship or communion of the Holy Spirit be with you. So the Holy Spirit wants to commune with you. He wants to fellowship with you. The word fellowship is not just what we do when we come to church. So fellowship can be between two people. Fellowship just means communication, interaction. The Holy Spirit wants to fellowship with you. But you know what? It's a gentle Holy Spirit. So you need to reach out. He doesn't force himself on people. Tell anyone, say, reach out. Because he doesn't force himself on people. The next thing, listen to him. Because he wants to talk back to you. The Bible says in Revelation 2:29, let him who has ear do what? Listen or hear what the Spirit says to the church. So the Spirit is saying something to the church. And not just the church when we come like this. As a Christian, you are part of the church, you're the body of Christ. The Spirit is speaking to you, but you need to listen. And also the Bible says in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1, it says the Spirit speaks expressly. The Spirit is speaking expressly, but we need to listen. The third thing is this, we need to sing to him just like we did this morning. The Holy Spirit loves you to sing to him. Pour out your power and love as I sing, oh. See, while we were singing, I was feeling the anointing. It does not have to be only when we come to church, we experience and feel the anointing like that. Every day of your life can be like that, if only you would do what needs to be done. Talk to him, listen to him, and sing to him. Don't wait till you come to church before you sing and worship. He wants to hear you sing in worship. Colossians 3:16 says, let the word of Christ dwell richly in you, in all spiritual understanding, singing and making melody in your hearts to the Lord. God wants us to sing. There's something that we do on, there are a lot of things we do here on earth that will not follow us to heaven. But one thing that would go with us to heaven is what? Singing. Singing. Singing is spiritual. Singing is spiritual. And that's why I tell Christians, mind the kind of songs you listen to. Because there are spirits behind every song. When the prophet wants to prophesy in the Old Testament, it tells them, go call a minstrel. Because when the minstrel starts playing, the Spirit of God in him gets stirred up. When the evil spirit from God was disturbing Saul, they called David to come play music, and when he does that, what happened? He gets delivered. So the songs we sing can either bring deliverance from evil spirits or oppression from evil spirits. Let me tell you, be mindful of the kind of songs you sing. Let me tell you, it was to be mindful of the kind of songs that you sing. In Ephesians chapter 5, verse 15 to 20, the Bible is telling us how to always be filled with the Spirit. And one of the things it says there is singing psalms, hymns, spiritual songs, and making melody in your hearts to the Lord. You just wake up and say, Lord, I just love you. You know, when you see psalms, it's not talking about the book of Psalms in the Bible. I hope you know that. Because when the scripture was written, there was no Bible then, and there was no book of Psalms. So it's not talking about the book of Psalms. A psalm just means a spiritual, saying spiritual things. And when it says hymns too, it's not talking about the hymnal book that we use. It's talking about spiritual songs. So you can compose your own hymn. You can make melody in your heart to the Lord. And that's the way we get filled with the Spirit. That's the way we are being filled with the Spirit. You can't do that and be low and be depressed and be worn out and just feel terrible. No. When you do that, your tank gets filled up. So someone will say amen to that. Amen. So we're going to sing very soon. And the last thing is speak is language. Speak is language. Like you already know, I'm not originally from here. So imagine I find myself in a stadium. I find myself in a very busy place. And I hear someone speaking in my dialect. Because in Nigeria, we have more than 100 languages. And I just hear someone speaking in my dialect. How would I feel? I will feel special in the midst of the crowd. And especially if the person is telling me something that is very critical. Maybe there's a danger around, or there's treasure somewhere, and the person is speaking to me in my language, and he's saying, Dayo, Tobati losiwa jumbe. You guys are lost already, right? Toba losek bembe, wari $10,000 check. You know, you guys don't know what that means, right? So imagine yourself, you are in this world. Bible says we're in this world, but we are not of this world. We are citizens of heaven, but we are here on a mission, on an assignment. So when you start speaking in tongues, what are you doing? You're speaking your native language. The devils don't understand it. Demons don't understand it. Even your mind do not understand it. And that's why some people are afraid to speak in tongues. They're like, I don't even know what I'm saying. Yes, that is the plan. That's the script. The Bible says, no man understands him. Albeit in the spirit, is doing what? He's speaking mysteries. Mysterion in the Greek. You're speaking out the mind of God, the will of God. But you know what? If you can continue speaking in those mysteries, very soon the Holy Spirit begin to give you understanding and interpretation of what you're saying. Some of my sermons I receive when I'm praying. And I do a lot of speaking in tongues more. I pray in tongues, just like Paul said. Because sometimes our words are limited. That's why some people sleep off after praying for 5 minutes. Because they are trying to pray in their understanding. Tell them, start praying in the Spirit. Start speaking in the language of the Spirit. That's speaking in tongues. He that speaks in an unknown tongue speaks not to men, albeit in the Spirit, he speaks mysteries to God. Your Father wants to hear you speak mysteries to him. The Spirit wants you to commune with him. In intimacy, and that happens when you speak it. Not when you speak in English. No matter how good your English is and how better it is than my own accents, the Holy Spirit is more interested when you commune with him in his language. Of course, when you pray the word, when you speak scripturally in prayer too, you're speaking his language. So I'm not just discounting any kind of prayer that is not in tongues. No, that's not what I'm saying. It's good. You know, Paul said, I'm going to pray in understanding, and I will pray in the Spirit also. So it's not one, no, it's both. So I'm not against you, you know, expressing your heart and speaking to God based on your understanding. That's good and it has its place. But let's also speak in the Spirit. Let's speak mysteries. Let's speak the language of the Spirit to the Holy Spirit, because he wants to have and share intimacy with us. Somebody say amen. So I want to challenge you, as you go back home and you're just by yourself, talk to the Holy Spirit. Say, Holy Spirit, I've heard a little more about you today. I want to experience you more.
Reveal yourself to me. Tell him your worries. Tell him your struggles. Tell him the things bothering you. He's interested in every detail of your life. And after a while, just be still in his prayer and say, speak to me, Holy Spirit. And even if you don't hear anything, just that stillness. Something is happening, and just go ahead and sing to him. Play some of the worship songs, the kind we'll listen to in church. Or even sing your own song to him. And just say, Lord, you know I love you. I just worship you. I just bless your name. You are so good. You are wonderful. Just make melody in your heart to him. That's what the Bible says we should do. And after a while, begin to burst out in tongues. The Bible says, out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. Can we put that to practice this morning? Just say something nice to God. Say something good to him. I'm done with the message. I don't just want us to hear the word. I want us to be doers of the word. Can we just express our love to him? Say, Lord, I love you. Say, Lord, I praise you. I bless you. I exalt you and I magnify you. I glorify you. You are the lily of the valley. You're the bright and morning star. You're the rose of Sharon. You are all I need. You are all I've got. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for being here to help me, to comfort me, to counsel me, to be my advocate, to be my strengthener. Thank you, Lord, for your presence, for your peace, for your power, for your joy. Thank you for helping me to bear fruit of the Spirit. Thank you for helping me to bear fruit of righteousness. Oh, Lord, we give you praise this morning. We give you glory. Can we sing that he should pour out his power and love on us this morning? As we sing, holy, holy, holy. Come on, keep talking to him. And also be listening. Say, Holy Spirit, what do you want me to do in the second half of 2024? Where would you want me to go? Who would you want me to reach out to? Who would you want me to help? Maybe God has been speaking to you about a missions trip. Say, Lord, I'm going to go. Where will the resource come from? I'll do it. Just give me the blueprint. Oh, Father, we thank you. I don't know about it, but I can feel his presence in this place. I know we walk by faith, not by sight, but there's just a time when his presence becomes very palpable and tangible. And I can feel his presence already. If there's anybody with sickness or disease in this place, the gentle influence of the Holy Spirit is bringing healing. It's touching you where you need healing. Thank God for the medical help you've been getting. Spiritual help is available this afternoon. Father, we thank you. Pour out your power. Thank you, Jesus. We give you praise, Lord.